Michael, you came to the Kalamazoo Literary Council in 2010, first paid full-time director for an otherwise volunteer organization. What triggered that change?
Well, the Kalamazoo Literacy Council had been in existence for many years. They started in 1974 as an all-volunteer force, but there was a point in time when they really wanted to make a greater impact on the issue. With only 50 volunteers serving 50 learners at the time, they knew that they were busy and they were doing a great job serving those learners, but there's a larger number of learners in need. So they went through a strategic planning process to find out if there's a possibility of being able to have a greater impact on the community, and there was. But they knew that they couldn't do that without having someone who was able to take care of some of the day-to-day work and look at building out the infrastructure for serving adult learners in our community. And then in their choice, they hired me to actually go about building up the organization to do that, building partnerships and recruiting more learners and more tutors and raising awareness of the issue so that more people can get involved.
And what kind of experience does a person need to bring to do a job like this? You're a Detroit native?
I'm a native of Detroit, but I've been in southwestern Michigan for a very long time. I have a farm in Cass County, and I really, really see myself as a southwestern Michigan resident. But as far as being a volunteer tutor, the way that we see it is that we think that everyday people can teach everyday people how to read. They just need a little training. So we provide training for that person to be able to give them the skills they need to be able to work with a struggling adult reader. It takes about 14 hours, including the orientation. But at the end of it, the everyday reader can teach another person how to read.
And Kathy, you're the volunteer coordinator. So you work directly with the volunteers. Tell us about your role.
My role is specifically with Pine Island Church. We're one of the newest literary centers to be established by the Kalamazoo Literacy Council. And we got involved as we were looking for outreach programs for our congregation. I had been talking with Michael for a story that I was doing in another role that I have as a managing editor of Southwest Michigan Second Wave. And he was able to talk to me about the great need in the community, and it just seemed like a great fit for what our church was doing and for what the Literacy Council needed. And so we started meetings with him, and he helped us all along the way in terms of setting it up and getting the center up and going. And my responsibility right now is making sure that there are tutors there every day that the center is open.
How many do you have, and how many do you think you would need for the ideal situation?
That's difficult to say at this point. We just hope that it continues to grow. We trained about a handful of folks from our church, went through the literacy advocacy and the tutor training that the Literacy Council offers, and that we're just continuing to build that through letting the community know that we exist. So,
now, you've both mentioned a great need in the community. What kind of numbers are we looking at? What is that percentage of illiterate? And how do you decide that someone's illiterate? Is it that you can't read at all, or you can read somewhat?
Well, within Kalamazoo County, there's an estimated 25,000 and more struggling adult readers that are in our community. Those are adults 18 and over who are what we would consider to be functionally illiterate. That means that they're reading at the lowest level of literacy, about fourth grade and below. We serve those who are sixth grade and below because we've determined that really in order to be functional in today's modern society, you need to have a reading level of at least sixth grade to be able to function in a workforce and continue your education and even to be much more functional at home. But those who are most critically in need, there's about 25,000 who are in our community today who are struggling to read every day.
Wow, that's a stunning number. How does that happen? We've got public education, everybody goes to school. Where are these illiterate people coming from? What's holding them back?
Now, there are those people who find themselves unable to read at the level that they choose to. There's a lot of ways that actually happens, and it's not really a public school concern as the primary driver. There's a lot of people who make their way through school quite well. It's for those who don't, and a large of those things have nothing to do with school. If you are in a low-income neighborhood moving from house to house and you end up dropping out of high school in order to be able to help your mom, when we've had learners who have done that, that may do it. If you are a person who is having difficulty because of a learning disability. You may be able to have a lot of support in school, but to be successful outside of school, you're still going to need some additional help to be able to achieve that level of literacy. If you come to our community and English is not your native language, you're learning it as a second language, this is a concern. You're really going to have to focus on having some very strong literacy skills, reading, writing, spelling, and comprehension. So there's lots of reasons why people come to us, and there's lots of ways that you find a person who is a struggling reader. We are here to accommodate all of them. And we need partners like what we see at Pine Island Church and others to really be able to make sure that literacy activities and instruction is available to them at the neighborhood level.
You've mentioned partners. There's probably several efforts already underway and have been for some time. Are you working together? How are you working together?
Well, one thing we do know as the Kalamazoo Literacy Council is this is a concern that cannot be handled alone. If it were just a Kalamazoo Literacy Council with its existing volunteers, we wouldn't make that much progress. So we really wanted to go to any place that had the capacity to teach adults who want to learn how to read how to read. And that includes churches, that includes adult basic education providers, workforce development, neighborhood associations, housing complexes, whoever is actually has the interest to help an adult learner to learn how to read. We wanted to work with them. And then we really needed to come together to make sure that we have a really clear way of being able to help adult learners navigate that system that we're building. The way that I see it is that we're really building an adult literacy campus for adult learners who are seeking services. And it's something that we really have to work together to make clear to those learners so that they can get from site to site and place to place to get the instruction that they need. So we currently have 12 community literacy centers that we've established with community partners, everything from Pine Island Church to Goodwill Industries, Michigan Works, and Northside Association for Community Development, several others. But we need to continue to build up those places so that there's more places for adults to learn.
And funding. There must be, even though this is primarily a volunteer organization, you must need quite a bit of funding to get this underway.
Funding is critical to what we do. Even more critical is the volunteer service. That's what makes it so that it's sustainable. So each of those partners where we've established sites, there's a minimal investment that we hope to be able to have for each site. It takes about $2,500 to start a community literacy center. But after that, it's staffed by volunteers who give their time and they give their expertise to be able to help those adult learners. Now, that being said, there still is the administrative costs and staff and personnel that need to be compensated to be able to provide that administrative structure. And that's where the grants and our annual campaign and our fundraisers come into play. So our local funders have been very generous in being able to support our organization. We have an annual campaign that kicks off in April where the community, they are invited to contribute to the effort. We have in next month our annual Kalamazoo Scrabble Fest where people can play for a day.
Fun.
We'll be doing that March 28th at the Northside Association for Community Development, which hosts one of our literacy centers. And we really try to make sure that anyone who wants to contribute, whether it's financially or with their volunteer time or service or to become an advocate for the cause, they have a way to be able to help this issue make progress along the way.
Now, this may sound like a silly question, but in a day of technology when you can use apps and push buttons and we're hearing that statistically readership is going down, that people who could read don't read, why is it so important to be a strong reader?
Well, the thing is they may not be reading books as much, but they're still reading every day. If you live in Michigan and you get hit with the type of weather that we have seen recently, there's oftentimes a notification that your child is not going to school. That is not given to you over the telephone necessarily. You're reading it across the bottom of the screen. Every transaction that we make at the store, there's some type of thing that you need to be able to do that is literacy-based, whether it's reading your receipt or calculating what you need to spend. So there's job applications, there's health forms, and you know that that's of critical interest for many people. So the desire to read may not be as strong for some, though I do think that we have a really strong and reading community in our area. But the necessity to read has never been higher. You really need to be able to be connected, whether it's through an email or through text, all those things that may not have existed 20, 30 years ago or were not as prevalent. They're prevalent in today's society, so there is a really high need to have strong literacy skills for every day.
Now, in 2010, when I looked around at your website to get some numbers, you had 49 tutors and 55 learners. In 2013, you'd gone up to 170 tutors and 240 learners. How did that come to be? Is that enough?
Oh, and from the Literacy Council's perspective, it's never enough until we have every learner who wants to learn how to read matched with a tutor who wants to help. So it takes those partnerships, like working with Pine Island, to find those willing individuals to be that volunteer. And we feel that we need to have at least 300 to work with those who have the most chronic need when it comes to literacy needs. And we need to be able to have centers like Pine Island to be able to have places where they have quality learning environments that are suited for them. So if you want to look at why the volunteers come forward, I think that Kathy and those who have come from her congregation can tell you why. But the number of what we need is the more the better. Our next training is coming up in March, and we would encourage those who want to join the effort to be able to help us reach that critical number of having 300 volunteers to be able to take on this cost.
300 is your magic number then, or your goal for now?
That is our goal for now, and that's what we believe will help us to really be able to engage the numbers necessary to make a statistical change in the effort. We're not here just to manage those who found us. We're here to actually start to drive those illiteracy rates downward into the point of termination.
The thing that I found in terms of when people hear, as you were struck by the 25,000 number, that's stunning. They want to get involved. Also, the message that the Literacy Council gives out, that everyone needs to read, when it comes to getting a job, when it comes to dealing with doctors, when it comes to helping your own children learn how to read. I was just reading something yesterday about how a lot of times in kind of impoverished households, children don't just get enough words. They don't hear enough words. And the stronger reading skills you have, the more you can help them. And when people hear those kinds of things, they want to get involved. That's been my experience.
Kathy, tell us a little bit more about these tutors, these volunteers, and what kind of criteria you have for them. I'm wondering, too, if you're a 9-to-5 working person, do you have off hours, off business hours that are available? And give us an image of who is this typical tutor. Do you have some that are real special that have stuck with you for a long time?
I think that just about anybody can be a tutor as long as the interest and involvement is there. You have to be invested in it because it takes time to go through the training to learn. There's a special system, the Laubach system, that the Literacy Council asks people to go through. But once you get done with that, you actually can teach someone to read, and that's what's exciting about it, is that you know that you've gotten the skills that you need to help them. And I've had people say that this, they've been involved in a lot of volunteer work in their life, but this is the most rewarding one that they've done because they're actually seeing an improvement in their reading skills and they know that that person is going to be more employable and just have more skills in general. So those are the kind of things that are happening.
Do either of you have a success story that you can share? Maybe a person who has come in for some reason and really wants to learn and succeeded.
Oh, there's quite a few success stories. I hear them every week. But there's one that comes to mind of a gentleman who said that he dropped out of high school at the age of 17, and for a very good reason. His mother didn't have the resources to be able to keep his household going. So he dropped out for a good reason, came back to school at the age of about 51, and wanted to be able to go back to school. And now he's actually doing pretty well, got hooked up with a tutor who's providing a great amount of quality service for him. He's studying at one of our literacy centers. He's employed and making progress. So that's the type of success that you see is a person who says, it's not too late to learn. I'm coming back to school, and it actually can make a difference in my life. We had another much more recent situation where there was a person who had come to us, and he really wanted to finish his education. You know, for many, the finish line is, I want a diploma in my hand. And what was unfortunate for him is that the program that he was in was not going to be able to help him to finish the high school diploma because he's no longer eligible for that. He's an adult. He needs to complete a GED. And the GED process requires that you have very strong reading, writing, spelling, comprehension skills in addition to math and everything else. So his tutor was very, very effective in getting him connected to the right program that was to be able to help him. He's enrolled in an adult basic education program. He's working with his tutor still. He was able to secure another job, and he's also participating in a new computer-based program that we have. So what I think that really, when you see the progress, is not so much that the services exist, it's the motivation of the learners who come to us and say, I want to make a change. Can you help me to get connected to the literacy service, to that computer lab, to the literacy center, or some other type of support so that I can really make a difference for my family and for myself?
Have you ever had a learner turn into a tutor to kind of pay it forward?
We have them paying it forward in many different ways, not so much from a tutoring perspective, but from a mentor and the example of what it looks like when success has been achieved. So we're still looking for that tutor that will come back to us from being a student. But mostly what we see is the volunteer who says, or the student who says, I will share my story. I will be that example. I will help others to be able to follow in the same path that I have followed. So we've seen that quite a bit. They've shared what it's like, how long it takes, how much dedication that you need. We actually do have a group of students, adult learners. They come together once a week or twice a week. They're in part of an empowerment group where they help each other out under the guidance of one of our interns. They really share their experiences and support one another so that they can motivate themselves to make those steps to continue their goals. So there's lots of ways to serve, even for those who we are serving.
That's wonderful. And if somebody wants to learn more about getting involved, where should they go?
Well, they can go to our website at www.kalamazooliteracy.org, or they can call us at 382-0490, extension 222, or they can talk to the literacy centers that have stepped up to the plate to support us, such as at what we see at Pine Island and several others in the community, and talk to them to see why they got involved and what ways that you can serve at those different sites. So we really encourage those people who are interested in helping to make a difference in someone's lives to, first of all, call. And once you call, we'll find a place that you can serve and a variety of ways that you can serve us and those that we're trying to help improve their skills.
I've got to think it's a bit of a challenge in marketing, too, not so much for the tutors. Obviously, they can read. But how do you get the word out to the people who can't read? You can't put a sign up or anything. How do you market to, how do you get the word out?
Well, the thing is that the signs do help, but the person that they run into who actually understands where the services are,
word of mouth,
they're the better sign. We're really looking for people to understand that you can have free reading help if you call this number. Now, we put flyers out, but the people who are most likely to read them are someone who knows someone who needs this help. So it's not just for the person who needs to read. It's for the person who knows them. If you know someone who may need our help, the best thing that you can do is to call our number. If you see a flyer and you know someone who may need our help, the best thing you can do is put that in the hands of a person who may need our help and tell them that they need to call this number. So a large amount of it is not that you don't want to have signs or that there's a challenge in reaching those who are struggling readers. I think that the message is not as prevalent as it should be. If literacy is what we believe it is in terms of importance for employment, for early childhood education through the mothers and fathers who are educating their children, or for health, this message should be everywhere, and it should not be so hard to find us. Unfortunately, it is. So what we try to do is to put that message in the hands of so many people that eventually those who are looking for help will run into the right person and get pointed in the right direction.
And this is a free service?
It is a free service to our learners. We provide free books and all the programs that they enroll in, computer classes, our Expressways to Success program that we are working with as well. All of those are free.
Well, thank you, Michael. Thank you, Kathy, for coming in to tell us more about this. It's a wonderful effort. Wish you the best.
Well, thank you very
much.
Thank you.